Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Again, hope you all had a fantastic weekend. We'll remind you all that you can weigh in, let your voice be heard each and every weekday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on WKAR AM 870 by following me on Twitter at Al Martin WKAR, like Current Sports on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports, or even email me at almartin@wkar.org. Don't be shy. Hit us up. We want to hear what's on your mind. And of course, you know that you can give us a ring here at Current Sports by calling 517-355-9527. And again, how have we been doing so far on the show? I mean, we're entering, I think, episode 50-something now. I can't believe, you know, time has flown by as fast as it has here on the show. But again, to all of the dedicated listeners out there who tune in from 1 to 2 each and every weekday, we want to know how we've been doing so far. Our aim is to get better with each and every show, and we can't do that without feedback. So I encourage all of you out there to pose some conversations that you would like to hear discussed right here on the show. Again, let us know what you like, what you don't like, what should we improve on. Tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. Also email me at almartinwkar.org or go to facebook.com/currentsports and leave a comment right there. All right, well, let's get this baby started. We kick off today's show with a pretty cool piece that sort of brings you into the world of international sports. Now, Current Sports production assistant Alex Sharg got a chance to sit down with Andrea Corbetta. He is an Italian basketball player in the Italian League who plays in the C League. He was recently in town visiting his host family from when he studied abroad here in the States some time ago. Alex flagged him down to talk with Andrea about his basketball career overseas, along with so much more.
Mi chiamo Andrea. Actually, my name is Andrea. You pronounce it Andrea.
What did you say first? Mica Andrea?
Mi chiamo.
Mi chiamo. What is that?
My name is. My name is. And I started playing basketball 16 years ago or something for my little town team. Then I moved to this a little bit bigger town, but they had really good young players. So we went to the national final for 5 years, 4 years actually, because 1 year I was here. And I play center, but in my soul I'm a playmaker.
Wait, so you said you play center, but you think you're a playmaker?
Yeah. I can't actually play point guard, but I don't know. I feel that I want to be a point guard. I just can't. Yeah, it's a weird thing, I know.
So you can dribble the ball as well as a point guard, but
I'd say so. And
is it just a coach decision? Your coach won't let you play point guard?
Yeah, exactly. They tried, actually, for the last two games of the season. It just didn't work out.
Why not?
Too tall.
Too tall.
Oh, by the way, I'm 6'8", which is 2 meters and 5 centimeters for the Europeans. Last season, I played for Pallacanestro Meda, but I used to play for Aurora Desio, Pallacanestro Aurora Desio, which is it's a small team, but the name, it's famous all over Italy, because they always have good young teams. They always make it to the finals.
So that was the first team you played for?
That's actually the famous team. The first team I played for is Masters Karate. Oh. That's actually where I live too.
Is that a city, Karate?
Yeah, it is. It's close to Monza or Milan.
Okay, so when did you first start, when did you first pick up a basketball?
I don't know about that. I mean, my dad played a lot. He was this close to go to the major league.
NBA? Or in Italy?
No, in Italy.
What do they call that in Italy?
It's called Lega.
Lega?
Yeah, it actually changed a lot of names. But he played basically in the second league, and then he just quit it and went lower leagues. That was the only sport I could play. I was always the tallest everywhere. So I started playing basketball, and I liked it. So I just keep on going and going. I don't know what I'm gonna do next season, but I mean, I've been playing for 16 years, so it's a long time.
So you started playing at what age?
I'm 21, so it's probably around 5 or something.
on five?
Yeah.
So you just started playing in your backyard, or playing leagues?
I was the youngest player on this team because everyone was born in 1990 and 1991. I was born in 1992, so I was always the youngest, but still the tallest. So I kept playing on that team, and then all those people became my friends. And I mean, I still have a basketball. My dad built this basketball. This basket, my bad. And it's still
there. He built the basket himself?
Yeah, it's still there. I haven't played it in that basket for a long time, but it's still there. You know the picture of the Michael Jordan basket in North Carolina? Yeah. It's like mine.
That's awesome. All right, so when did you move here? Why did you move here?
I moved here in 2009 with this association, like AFS, American Field Service, which is like provides exchange students. Exchanges.
So to study, you came here to study?
Yeah, I came here to study. And the first, I applied to this program in the year before, so it took me basically 1 year to get here. But when I first got the letter that said you're going to, I read Beverly Hills. I was like, what? Beverly Hills? Really? And then there was this MI near Beverly Hills. I was like, what is this MI? Yeah. Then I read the temperature too. They were like below zero. I was like, oh, this can't be California. So then I went on the internet and I discovered that there's actually another Beverly Hills in Michigan, which is, I mean, it's my Beverly Hills, so it's the original one. I don't care about the one in California. So I came here in 2009. I found a wonderful family, wonderful brothers, wonderful friends, and I don't know, I just love this place. And now I'm here just to say hi.
So did you play in leagues before, like growing up? Not professional, you weren't playing in Lega, but for the teams you did play for, did you play for those teams before you arrived here? What was your timeline with like getting into the league,
all right,
when you moved here?
We have, in Italy, we have before, we have under 19, like age 19, we play in like young league. And I played for Aurora Desio for 4 years. I mean, it was 5 years, but the fourth year I was here, so I don't know if it counts.
So and Aurora Desio is a young team. Young
yeah,
team.
It's a, they have a like the major team, like the what is that like? Yeah, the real team. The major team that plays in the fifth league. Is that fifth? Yeah, the fifth league. And I played there for a year and a half almost. And then I moved to another team in the sixth league. It's like C1 and C2. Our division is in C1, and the other team was in C2. So I played this under 19 league till the end of high school, which is in 2011. Then I played for a year and a half. In C1 league. And then I moved to this C2 league in Meda.
Okay, so there's C2, C1, and then the younger leagues, right?
It's actually Lega A, then it's like League 2, B1, B2, C1, C2, D, minor leagues, and then
younger leagues.
Yeah, exactly.
So you played in the younger leagues for how long? How many years?
It was like 12 or something.
12 years.
Yeah,
you started at what age?
Well, I mean, I started at 5.
So you played from 5 to...
Was that like 18 or something?
So 18. But
yeah.
You moved here at what age?
17.
So how did that work when you moved here to start right, and
so
then you played?
I played in the young leagues till, 17. Then I moved here. I played for Groves Basketball for three months.
Now, when you played for Grove,
yeah.
Did you have intention of going back to Italy? Does that look good, playing here in America for high school basketball?
It's way, way different. Like, here, there are a lot of talents, but they don't pass the ball. It's more like 1-on-5 game. you know, it's still like that. We have what's the name? Ball augers. Yeah, we have them too, but it's a little bit less. Like they pass the ball more. So that's the major difference. And another big difference, it's actually the size of the players. Here they're way bigger. I mean, as America is always like double size everything, the player too.
So sorry to switch back. So you played until you're 17. You came here.
All right.
For girls basketball.
Exactly.
You went back.
Yeah.
How many months later?
A year later.
Year later.
Yeah, so. I lived here a year with this wonderful family.
Went back at your 18.
I came back when I was 18. Or exactly. I played my last year of high school in the young league, and then I moved to the C1 team. Actually, I didn't move because it was the same team. I just played pro.
So you jumped above D, above the minors. You jumped.
Yeah, just C. Exactly.
So above C, there's just B, and then and then Lega, right? So
exactly.
Lega, B1, B2, and then where you played.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Lega, League two, then it's B1, B2, and then where I played. Like C1 league used to be the league where like major teams, like League A teams, used to like put their players to grow up. So you can find like players that are going to play in League A in like for a year or two. So we still have some talents down there, and some of them actually got to the B1 and eventually League Two.
You have some of your friends you played with that
yeah,
did that?
Yeah, like the starting five of the, what years was that? Like the year before I came here, of under 19 league in Desio, four of them plays in B1 or above. So it was pretty good.
Now what I want to know more about now, so after you went there at age 18, you played there again for a year, but now you're back here. How did the timeline go from when you moved? After 17, you went back, and now you're here?
Oh, here? I'm just here for 2 weeks. Actually, 17 days.
Just to visit?
I miss them. I miss them so much.
How are you? Are you not playing basketball right now? Are you still playing when you go back? Or?
Oh, I'll probably will still play basketball. I mean, the season ended 2 months ago, so I'm just...
For C, are you going to move up? What's your next move?
I don't know, because I always have back problems. So I was thinking that I should stop for like 6 months or something, go swimming, and try to fix my back and then go back on track.
Do a lot of basketball players swim to fix back issues and things like that?
Not a lot of them, but I've tried everything. Like massages, physio?
Physical therapist.
Yeah, exactly. And everything. I have to try the magician and swimming. That's the only two options left, so.
Gotcha. So playing in an Italian basketball league, was that always your childhood dream?
Actually, I mean, the dream of everyone is playing here in the NBA, but I don't know if I just can. I'm getting old too, man. I'm 21. and I have back problems. I can't even lift because even if I do this, my back hurts. So I'm just a mozzarella guy.
Okay, that makes sense. So, are there any pretty notable players that went to Lega that you played with and even came here?
Oh, I think two guys might come here soon. One is Alessandro Gentile. His dad used to be one of the best Italian players. And he's actually, this Alessandro, he's 21 too, but he's really, really good. He's a ball hogger, but he's good. So I think he's probably coming here. And I knew Gigi Datome, his name is Luigi, but Gigi is like his nickname. I knew he was coming because he's really good. He has played like the last three seasons. He should have been the MVP for all three seasons, but one got injured. There was like another guy who was way better than him. And I think he got in the NBA too. I don't remember his name. And this season it was that time.
So you said he should have been the MVP in the 2003 season, 2003?
Yeah. No. The past three seasons.
Oh, the past three?
Yeah, yeah.
Every year he should have been MVP?
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Because he played really good, but 3 years ago, actually 2 years ago, He got injured to, what was that, the knee, I think, or the ankle, I don't remember. So he had to stop like half season. And when he got back, it just sucked. He was so terrible. But then I guess he worked during summer and he played really good the next best season. So
how did he get his nickname, Luigi?
You know, Luigi, it's a common name, but Gigi's more like, how do you say, like cute? It's like a cute name, cute nickname.
So when you came here to study,
all right,
you obviously had the dream to play in the NBA.
Of course.
Do you find that many players try to study here to help their cause, play in American leagues, get looks by the NBA? Does that happen? Is that the mindset for European players?
Yeah, some of them actually do. I mean, I don't know if you heard about Amedeo Della Valle. He's playing in Ohio State. I don't know. I don't like him, like, personally and as a player, but he's pretty good. But I don't know if he's going to make it to the NBA because he's really, like, thin.
The Ohio State basketball player.
Oh, Della Valle? Yeah, he played for an high school in Las Vegas. That's why he got picked by a college.
So do you think that if he stayed in Italy, he would not be in college?
No, not a chance.
So would you recommend that most European players need to come here? Is that the best way to get looks?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I have a friend. She lives in Turin. Actually, she now lives in America. She do kayak, and she got a scholarship right from Italy. Like, she came here just for college. All with like a scholarship, everything's paid, but she got picked in Italy. I think that's one of the few cases. All the Europeans that play in like colleges probably have been like playing high school basketball here, or they're so good that like their talent got all like overseas or something.
So what does it take as an Italian basketball player to get looks here?
I don't know about that. I think you need to be like good, humble, and you need to be very lucky, very lucky. Or you need to know like the good people, the right people that can like spread your talent around here. I mean, they can make you look good around here.
But the first step is moving to the States.
I think so.
Okay, cool. Now, what do you think, what's it like living there and playing there? If I'm an American and I'm going to play in Italy, what's the difference? Playing there? Do you get paid more to play in the leagues there?
You can get paid from the already, like, one of the last league, like D-League, not the development, like the last league. You start to see the money if you're really good. And like from C1 and above, like real good.
So you're right there.
I'm almost there. I don't know if I can make it, but I'll try.
The comparison? How much money do you get paid with C? Some players, can you give some average? Guess on what pay.
If you're a good player and if you're old, I mean old like 25, and you've been playing in the C League for a long time, like the average could be around €1,000, like. 1K or something. And if you go above, and even if you're young, like B1, actually already B2, B1, you get paid 1,000, I think. And if you're that good, like 2, 3, no more than 3. And then League 2 and League A, you probably get around like 200,000, 300,000. Not crazy contracts like the NBA. Not crazy contract like that.
Do you think they should get paid more?
No.
Why not?
No. Like, I mean, first, there's not a lot of money like going on in Italian basketball. Plus, I mean, 2,000, 3,000, that's a lot of money too. I mean, you can't get like a real, like a million dollar contract that you will never be able to get that in Italy. We don't have... Like, basketball is not that big of a deal, like, here. So, we don't... There's no, like, a lot of money going, like, circulating. We got big arenas, not as big as Americans. And, I don't know, like, the sponsors and stuff are not that big.
Let me ask you something. You look at American players who can't make it to the NBA, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not good enough. a lot of them play in Italy or Europe. Do you notice that? Do you play with any American players that came over?
Not really. I've seen players. Actually, we have this role. If you to play in the C2, C1, B2, and B1 league, you need to be you need to have played. Is that right? In the young leagues for at least 4 years. So American players can just come there and play in the minors leagues. So I think that a good player that is not going to make it in the NBA, he definitely can come to Italy or actually to Europe and be an average player in the League 2 or League A.
Do you know about what they feel about it? Do you know anything about? Do you have any friends that know about it?
Yeah, there were these two guys that play. My favorite team is Cantu. I don't know if you ever heard about it. By the way, Milan and Siena are going to be in the next NBA 2K14, so you're gonna see about them. 10 EuroLeague EuroLeague teams are going to be in that game.
Cool.
And I cheer for this team. I'm really close to coaches and stuff, and I know that there were these two players who lived in Cantu, which is a small town, nothing to do around, but the food is good, people are good. It's really not a messy city or something, just really relaxed and quiet. They loved it. I saw tweets about that. I love this city, I want to live here. And some of them actually kept the house there. And sometimes during summer, they come there. There's nothing there, no sea, no anything, but they just come there to relax. So I think that American players will love Italy, will love it.
Is there a shift towards Italian players trying to get to America? Is that pretty common?
They always try to, but if you're not good. I mean, I honestly don't think that Datome is going to play a lot. I mean, if he's lucky, and he's good, he has to prove it. And if he can do that, he's going to play. But I mean, he has so many people before him. So we'll see. We'll see. I'm cheering for him, but I don't know.
Is everyone in Italy cheering for him?
Oh yeah, sure.
Big fan base.
Yeah, because he's a funny guy. He's a funny guy, so everyone loves him.
Do you have any funny stories about him?
I don't want to tell about that. I don't want to tell a Twitter story.
No.
No.
Why not? But it's on Twitter though.
Oh, it is.
It's not a big deal if you do, because people will already know about it.
Oh, it happened a long time ago. I don't know if people can get those tweets. He had played two bad games in a row. The third one was against Cantu, so I was there on the TV watching the game. All right, he played poorly for the whole game. The fourth quarter, it was a close game, and he started playing good. I was like, are you serious, man? And we lost by 3 points, 4 points, something like that, because of him. I was like, what, man? So I just said bad stuff about him on Twitter, and he actually answered me, because he had 6,000 followers, so it was not a big deal. Now he has 30 or 35, something like that. So
okay. Now talk about your worst game and your best game.
All right. Actually, one of my best game, yeah, it was this the past season, the first game. We played against, I played it for Meda against another team I played for 6 months the season before.
Did you get traded? What happened?
I played for Aurora Desio for a little while, but then my back was not that good. I didn't have play time, so I was I'm just leaving this. I want to play. So I went to this other team. It's called Cermenate. All right, it's a small town near where I live. So I went there playing, and it was an alright season. I didn't do really good. I had issues with the coach, even for this short of a time. So the first game of the season with the other team, with Meda, we played against Cermenate. So I mean, I was pumped, and that was one of the best games. I scored 17 points, 10 rebounds. I like, what do you say, locked out the like the best player of them. He made like 15 points. He usually makes like 25. He made 15, and he was pissed the whole time because I was just on him. And I don't know, I felt really good, but at the same time, it was like the two. It was, what was that? We were losing by 5 points. I score for the like to get to close to them, so we were down by 3. It was like 5-10 seconds left. Ball me, 3 point. Dang, out. I was like, no, man. So that's actually one of the best games, but it ended like really bad.
So what's your favorite part about playing in Italy? Just it's your hometown, it's where you're from. Do you like it better here?
I don't know about playing here. I haven't seen. I don't know if there is like a huge league between NBA and high and colleges. I've never heard like of famous leagues between NBA and colleges. In Italy, it's more like spread out. So yeah. Plus, I don't know. It's like the game is less physical. It's more like technic. That's what I like about it.
It's more technical.
Yeah, technical, not technical.
More like team basketball.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you compare NBA to college? Is it more college, kind of like college?
Actually, college is ball hogging too. I mean, I watch a couple of games and it's, I don't know.
Most players agree with you about ball hogging in America?
Oh yeah, like European players. If you ask any, I don't know if European, but if you ask any Italian, they will say yes.
How old did you feel about it?
What?
How old Gigi feel about it?
Oh, Gigi? I don't know about that. I mean, he played in a team where the playmaker was kind of ball-hogging, but he still did good, so...
So do you think he might suffer a little bit?
I don't know. Like, have you seen Gallinari and Borgnani and Bellinelli? They get used to it. They start, like, keeping the ball for them. But now we have the European Cup for basketball in September, and they're going to play all together. And they're going to keep the ball for themselves. So people at home watching the TV, they're going to like, pass the ball, pass the ball. I can bet on this. I can bet this for sure, for sure.
A lot of ball hogging talk, I tell you. All right, thanks a lot, Alex, for that very insightful piece. That was Andrea Corbetta. He is an Italian basketball player for the C League. He was in town, actually, visiting his host family from when he did study abroad here in the States. He actually, as you heard throughout the piece, is pretty good friends with now Detroit Pistons player Luigi Datome. And interesting stories there. Thanks a lot, Alex, for catching up with Andrea and getting bringing that to current sports. All right. When we return to current sports, we'll dive into our current sports section of the show. We'll let you know we'll be taking your calls after the break. Don't hesitate to pick up that phone and dial 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Let us hear your thoughts on any of today's topics. And also, if you want to comment when you compare the Italian league to the States, is it ball hogging? That'd be an interesting conversation. I kind of think it does. I don't know. We'll see. Current sports is next.
I like the way they dribble up and down the court, just like I'm the king on the microphone. So it's Dr. J and Moses Malone. I like slam dunks and taking it to the hoop. My favorite play is the alley-oop. I like the pick and roll, I like the give and go, cause it's basketball, but Mr. Kirch's flow.
I'm Robin Young. Next time on Here and Now, a writer ignites a firestorm saying electric cars are far worse for the environment than traditional gas vehicles.
Electric cars may be very exciting, but there's no reason to believe that they're clean. And in fact, according to the National Academies, they're likely one of the most harmful modes of transportation available.
That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now coming up at 2 p.m.
7 days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat.
To be able to start a farmer's market takes time and energy, people power, and planning.
We change the notes, or we change the phrasing, or we change something for what might happen, and you can't really predict, and that's the beauty of jazz.
We are reinventing city government as we go along. It's like redesigning the airplane while in flight.
Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 WKAR.
Hey, good people, welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. It's now time for Current Sports, giving you all of the latest sporting news concerning the good people of Mid-Michigan. I want to remind you all to be taking your calls right now, 517-355-9527. Give us a call right here at the studio, and we'll discuss anything that's on your mind. Let's dive right into it. The Detroit Tigers, they sweep the Philadelphia Phillies over the weekend. The first game was on Friday. That was the only close one of this three-game series. While game 2 and 3 resulted in a 10-0 and 12-4 win, not even close. Phillies really struggled against the Tigers. And in the sixth inning yesterday, the Tigers scored 8 runs on only 2 hits. 8 runs and only 2 hits. Really remarkable production for the Tigers over the weekend when playing the Phillies. Now, Rick Porcello was on the mound yesterday. He allowed 3 runs and 7 hits in 6 innings to win his 4th straight start. So Rick is really playing well. Now the Tigers have won 7 of 8, and they lead the AL Central by 3 games over the Cleveland Indians. Detroit outscored Philadelphia 24-5. Oh my goodness, they just really put them on them. 24-5 in the 3-game sweep. That is now 8 straight losses for the Phillies. They are certainly in a slump. And really, if you look at yesterday and look at this entire 3-game series, I mean, of course, the Tigers in game 2 and 3, they just really demolish the Philadelphia Phillies. Like I said, the only close game came in game 1. So I guess if you're trying to look for an interesting aspect or storyline to this series, you got to turn to this moment right here.
In there for strike 2. Conversation continues. Oh, he's been thrown out. Seriously.
Oh, my goodness.
Are you kidding me?
Chad Fairchild, we did not come here to watch you today.
Yeah, that was Miguel Cabrera. He was actually tossed during yesterday's game. He was tossed while batting with the bases loaded in the third, and manager Jim Leland was also ejected, too. After 2 called strikes, the Triple Crown winner said something to plate umpire Chad Fairchild, although not in a demonstrative fashion. Cabrera was tossed and Leland was thrown out when he came out really arguing a really lengthy argument. Now, Fairchild released a quote today saying, quote, "I called strike 1 and he began to argue balls and strikes. I warned him to stop, but after the second pitch, he began to argue balls and strikes again and was removed from the game." He goes on to say, "Jim came out and asked for an explanation, which I gave to him. He then began to argue balls and strikes, and since he had left his position and argued balls and strikes, he was removed from the game." Now, there is some history when you look at Chad Fairchild. Chad Fairchild was also the plate umpire in Detroit's July 11th game against the Chicago White Sox when Leland and Detroit reliever Luke Polkin were ejected. So Fairchild, he does not like when Tigers bite back at him, and that was a perfect example of that yesterday. Now, if you look at the entire play, and when I was looking at that game, and Miguel Cabrera, I don't know what came out of his mouth. Maybe it was profanity. I don't know, but it had to be profanity, I think, to throw a guy out the game. I mean, because if you look at the play, Miguel Cabrera just turned around, looked at the umpire, said a few words, and all of a sudden, boom, you're out of here. It only took him about 5 seconds to throw him out the game, and then that's when Jim Leland came out and he was thrown out. But really a soft throwout, I tell you that. I didn't think that Miguel deserved to be thrown out of that game. But again, we're talking about Chad Fairchild here. He does not play when it comes to any lip in the game of baseball. Really outrageous call. But again, it didn't really affect the Tigers' play because they won 12-4, not even close. So interesting stuff. Also want to note, ladies and gents, that the Detroit Tigers, as of about, you know, maybe an hour and a half ago, the Tigers have added some help for that really, really shaky bullpen. They have acquired reliever Jose Veras from the Houston Astros for minor league outfielder Danrey Vasquez and a player to be named. So the Tigers add Jose Veras from the Astros to try to get some help for that bullpen, which they desperately need. So that's some definitely some good news for them. But interesting weekend for the Tigers. They just really cruise all weekend. That Miguel Cabrera and Jim Leland moment in which they were ejected was really the only interesting aspect to the entire weekend, to tell you that. All right, and James Eat 'em Up Tigers Van Horn and Dreadlock Mike. If you've ever gone to a Tigers game, those names definitely ring a bell for you in some way or shape or form or capacity. This is really sad news because there was actually a hit-and-run accident over the weekend that sadly took the lives of those two Detroit figures who are so synonymous with the Detroit Tigers fan base. James Eat 'em Up Tigers Van Horn and Dreadlock Mike were both killed this past weekend. Van Horn, he was known for his, for standing outside of Comerica Park, his hand inside a large green Hulk can that held a cup that people could drop money in, and repeatedly calling out his famous "Eat 'em Up Tigers" catchphrase. Definitely a very recognizable figure. And the other man identified was Dreadlock Mike, who was frequently seen at Comerica and other sites in the downtown Detroit area. He was known as Dreadlock Mike for his distinctive locks and could be seen navigating the streets in his wheelchair. Now, there has been an outpouring, a really just unbelievable answer to this whole story by fans across social media and news media websites since the hit and run was first reported, with many sharing their experiences encountering the two men. The company Down With Detroit is now selling T-shirts and other items embezzled with the words "Eat 'em up forever" and, quote, "Rest in peace, James and Mike." The company is donating all proceeds to pay for burial or give to charity, according to the Facebook page. And Max Scherzer also released a statement about James Van Horn, saying, quote, "I never saw him, given that I come to the park so early and because I leave in a different spot." Scherzer also said, "But all my family and friends love that guy. They loved him." So really sad news. Hit and run, ladies and gents. I mean, it's really sad to see that, you know, this is the way that, they had to, you know, that their lives ended. I mean, really, really influential figures when you talk about the Detroit Tigers fan base. Again, I say that because they are so synonymous with the team. And for something like this to happen and for no one to be caught, again, a hit and run, the guy who did it is still out there. Really sad stuff. All right, to move on now, the Michigan State Hall of Fame, the 2013 MSU Athletics Hall of Fame inductees were announced Saturday, and it includes former Spartan basketball player Morris Peterson, Kip and Ryan Miller, and Henry Bulla, and also Jenna Roble. Now, Peterson helped Tom Izzo and MSU win three straight Big Ten titles, advance in two straight Final Fours, and win the 2000 National Championship, and Bulla played for Biggie Munn in the 1952 national title team and served as an assistant coach for the 1965 national title team. Now, he has the Bulla family. If you look just throughout MSU football history, their names are everywhere. If you talk about, you know, son Shane and Chuck, they started at linebacker for MSU, and grandson Max right now is an All-American linebacker candidate in 2013, and his grandson Riley will open up as MSU's number one running back. I mean, the Bulla name is really throughout MSU's entire history. So now the man who sort of started it all for the Bulla family, Henry Bulla, will be inducted, well-deservingly so, into the 2013 MSU Athletics Hall of Fame. Let's move on out to D'Antonio, Mark D'Antonio. When you talk about Twitter, this is a very interesting aspect that Joe Rexroll put out today in the Lansing State Journal. He said that, quote, D'Antonio says, quote, "I've really got on Twitter because of recruiting, so I can direct message people, and it's sort of a way of communicating with a recruit." And this is during Big Ten Media Days when he said this comment. And he goes on to say, quote, "And even that is sporadic sometimes, but I don't know. I'm always good to and I can it's always good to get my message out. So D'Antonio has definitely been very active on Twitter as of late. You can follow at him, and you know, he leaves his mentions alone, though. He definitely leaves his mentions alone, saying that I rarely go into that area and see what people are saying. And he goes on to say, there are some haters out there. I can't picture D'Antonio saying that. There are some haters out there. Fun stuff. Now, his daughters definitely do help him out when, you know, when they see him struggling. And he says, quote, they see me struggling. They say, give me that phone. What do you want to say? And they'll type it in for him. So I guess it's like a collaboration between his daughters and D'Antonio tweeting. But really cool. I love to see sports figures, especially if you talk about MSU, D'Antonio hopping on Twitter and, you know, showing that he's active in social media. That's fun stuff. I believe we have a call on line one. Welcome to Current Sports.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good. How you doing, bud?
I'm good, thanks. Listen, I just want to give a big thank you to you, seriously, for bringing up that incident that occurred that you were talking about in Detroit with the hit and run.
Yeah.
I was at the game yesterday with a group of friends and saw some people out collecting money in the name of this person for burial. And with all due honesty, I mean, we are not real regulars to the game down there. I go, you know, a few games a year, but did not know this person or of them. And, you know, the general consensus was from people I was around was, yeah, there's somebody else out there just trying to capitalize on something that probably didn't happen. And you just really solved a big mystery for people. And yeah. I will certainly pass that on.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, no problem, man, because, yeah, I mean, if you talk about James Eat 'em Up Van Horn and, you know, Dreadlock Mike, I mean, they were definitely figures I remember back in the day, especially in high school for me going to games and, you know, to see something. And for me, it kind of hits home because it's also, you know, it occurred in Detroit where, you know, crime right now,
yeah.
My hometown where crime is through the roof. And, you know, to see something like this happen to two figures who are, you know, just one of those part of the atmosphere of you know, just the Tigers baseball team is really sad. And it was, you know, it's sad that I have to bring the news, but I definitely thought it was deservingly so to do that because of that.
That was a good thing. I think a lot of others will go right past that, but that's a good thing to know. I'm an old Detroit guy, but I mean, from way back, my wife went to school there and have ties. So it's really good to know. What's right.
Right. Exactly. Well, I want to tell you thanks a lot, Jack, and thanks for listening. Thanks so much for the support, bud.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that. All right.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks a lot, Jack, for that call. All right. Also want to wrap up before we hit the break. The U.S., they win the Gold Cup. The U.S. men's soccer team won the Gold Cup after a 1-0 victory of Panama thanks to Breck Shee's late goal. Check it out.
Certainly upping the pressure, the States. But they're not finding a way through so far. It's a very resilient Panama defence. The Doyle's ball into it. It must be it is. What an introduction for Breck Shee.
Yes, that was Breck Shee. The U.S. is now riding an 11-game win streak, outscoring their opponents 20-4. My goodness, the U.S. soccer team has really come out of nowhere and is really playing great. Shee, he entered the game in the 69th minute and scored the game-winning goal just 42 seconds later. And Landon Donovan, who was named tournament MVP with 5 goals and 7 assists, he whiffed on a chance that Shee eventually capitalized on. He actually had a header right in front of the net and just mistimed it. He was really, you know, distraught about it. But, hey, it doesn't matter. The U.S. now has the gold medal, riding an 11-game win streak. Just to quickly also note that Indiana native Ryan Newman, he won the Brickyard 400 yesterday, winning a duel he had for the majority of the race with Jimmy Johnson. Now, the two led the majority of the race combined to lead 118 of the 160 laps, but Newman held off Johnson for the final 30 laps to take victory lane in front of his hometown crowd and mom and dad. And really, you know, when I heard about this news in this morning, and looking at the standings, of course, I'm in this battle right now for fellow production assistant Matt Lucky. And he actually chose Jimmy Johnson. And to be honest, I can't remember who I chose, but it was not Ryan Newman. And that's all that matters because Jimmy Johnson got the second place. So he is now only 1 point in back of me. This is going to be a battle. Pick'em Mondays is actually coming right up, and this is our last week to make some solid picks. It's on the line. It's a battle. I do not want to sing some Aretha Franklin or Michael Jackson, so I'm really hoping that this week pours out for me. So, all right, before we hit the break, also, Johnny Football Manziel. Yes, he is in the news again, ladies and gents. Manziel, he actually attended a fraternity party in the West Campus area near the University of Texas and was, quote, quickly and harshly, end quote, kicked out of the event Friday night. Oh, man, I tell you, a brief YouTube video is accompanying the Sports Nation reports that show Manziel barely evading the burnt of an airborne beer, a beer can. You can see a beer can fly out of the air, almost hit Johnny, and screams that they are telling him to just get out of here as he leaves the party outside of a patio dressed in a soaked pink golf short and black baseball cap. Now, according to other reports, Manziel stayed in Austin on Saturday and attended a daytime fraternity party where he was spotted wearing a Tim Tebow New York Jets jersey. Two guys who love the media, I tell you. Now, Manziel took to Twitter on Sunday and, said, quote, "Last time I checked, double-digit win columns and championships are what matters. Just win, baby." So, Johnny Football is just staying in the media. He's getting a lot of flack, of course, if you look at the whole Manning cap situation where there were a lot of speculation whether or not he partied the night before and just woke up late and didn't feel well and missed the required meetings of the camp. Took a lot of scrutiny of that, and now he is in the media spotlight again for another quote-unquote partying story. So I want to, of course, if you want to see the video of this, it's on our Facebook page right now, facebook.com/currentsports, and you can check it out. Johnny Manziel is really just staying in the media for the wrong reasons. I think he's a good kid, just making some pretty not wise decisions right now. So we will also give us a call, 517-355-9527, and let us know, how do you look at Johnny Football now? Has his whole mantra kind of, gone down? Is it going down the drains, in your opinion, or is he just being a kid? Give us a call, 517-355-9527. And Jack, really thanks for the call. Jack, who just came, a great supporter of the show, really appreciate your call concerning the Tigers story and the death of those two recognizable figures in Tiger Nation. Again, 517-355-9527. Give us a call right here at the station. Pick'em Mondays is next. Stick around, more current sports is coming right at you.
John Gallagher Jr. starred as Johnny in the Broadway musical American Idiot and also starred in the Broadway musical Spring Awakening. Now he's playing Jim Harper, senior news producer on Aaron Sorkin's The Newsroom. On the next Fresh Air, John Gallagher Jr. Join us.
That's Fresh Air coming up at 3 o'clock.
Every weekday afternoon at 4, All Things Considered keeps you up to date on current events nationally and around the world. I inform you on what's happening at the state and local levels. Hi, I'm Brad Walker, your host for All Things Considered. Join me as we stay on top of the things that matter to you on All Things Considered, weekdays from 4 until 6 on AM 870 WKAR.
Whatever it is, that's pretty hot. I think, for those of you who don't know, Aaron is a hip-hop producer, I think. He has a few joints that you'll hear throughout here on Current Sports that I really, if you're driving in your car, your head will be bobbing a little bit. But Aaron, very talented. He does it all. I don't know if that was that one of his joints, guys, Matt? Was that? I don't know. I'll have to ask him. Aaron on the ones and twos, I tell you, man. Again, I'm here with Matt Lutke, production assistant, and also intern Mike Corey. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We are taking your calls right now to discuss anything that's on your noggin, 517-355-9527. Give us a buzz. And ladies and gents, it's Monday. So you know we always kick off our week here on Current Sports by listing our picks for the week. That's right, pick 'em Mondays, and right now, it's a battle. It's a battle, at least when you talk about the final two spots. Who's going to be singing? I have no idea right now. I'm pretty confident, but it's tough. Me and Matt battling right now.
Oh, it's tough. I'm scared.
I'm nervous.
I just don't want to do it alone. Yeah. That's it.
That's the biggest thing, man. Doing it alone. See, you were lucky, Mike, because you had Alex up there. Alex was really, he was the star. I mean,
he was into it.
He was like David Ruffin, and you were like the Temptation. He was just singing, just really took over.
I didn't have to do much, which was nice.
Yeah, it's really nice, man. So first of all, Mike, give him a rundown of how he's looking right now, and let's just get right into it.
Yeah, just a quick recap of last week. Tigers and White Sox, me and Alex both picked up 3 points for getting the exact series right. Neither of you took a split on the 4-game series. Then all three of us picked up 1 point for saying the Tigers would at least win the series. We all picked 2-1, but they ended up sweeping the Phillies. We all guessed how many home runs Miguel Cabrera would hit versus the White Sox. He hit none because he was out for the entire series.
So no points there.
No points there. Brickyard 400. Me and Matt both picked Jimmy Johnson to win. He ended up finishing second, so we each got 1 point because he was the highest of the finishers.
Right.
U.S. men's soccer team versus Honduras. We all picked USA to win, so we got 1 point. And then nobody got this Indians and Seattle Mariners series, right? So that's where it brings us to today. Alex still leads with 24. I am following with 19. Al, 13. Matt, 12 points.
Wow. Wow, it's a battle. It is a battle. So what do we got? What do we at this week, man?
All right, let's start off. We got the Washington Nationals at the Tigers. 2-game series. Sanchez and Verlander are pitching. Al, who do you got?
I'm on the spot first, huh? All right, we got Nats and Tigers. It's a 2-game series, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I look at this, you know, and the Tigers, of course, they're holding down the AL Central. And if you look at Washington, they are second place in the National League East in back of Atlanta by 8.5 games. Man. This is tough. Now, they are on a running streak, and it's tough because if you look at this, Detroit has won 3, and Washington has also won 3. So, you know what? I'm going to say a 1-1 split. Give me the 1-1 split in that one. That's a toughie. I'm going to go with the 1-1 split.
I'm also going the 1-1 split. Sanchez pitching well, but I'm going to go with Verlander taking the, this is part of it. I'm going to say Verlander's going to take the victory while Sanchez will take the loss.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Hey. I'm going to go 1-1 as well. no real insight, just strategy.
Right. I was just about to say that.
Care less about the series results. I just don't want to sing, guys.
All right. The next is the Chicago White Sox at the Tigers 3-game series. Pfister, Scherzer, and Porcello will be pitching. I will actually be attending the Scherzer game on Saturday.
Nice. So. All right.
Fun for me. Matt, why don't you start this time?
Okay.
Who are you picking?
I'm going to go 2-1 Tigers. I think they'll take 2 out of 3 there.
Okay. For me, again, if you look at this, the White Sox, they are the worst team in the AL Central. They've lost 3. Straight, not really playing well. If you look at the first outing between the Tigers and White Sox, the Tigers got stunned by them. They got stung by them out of nowhere. But next time when they met, Detroit handled business. And I'm gonna say they handled business again. I'm gonna go with Detroit with the sweep.
Wow.
Yes.
That's the big one.
With the sweep, I got to gamble here. 3-0. I think you got Porcello, right? You got Scherzer and you got Pfister.
Yes.
3 solid starters right there. We've been consistent throughout most of the year, I would say.
Porcello had a nice outing yesterday.
Great outing yesterday for Porcello. Give me 3-0.
And they played the White Sox right after the All-Star break, correct? And
they did.
Yeah. I'm taking that as a little bit of a like All-Star break.
To get back in the groove, you know, a little bit.
Yeah, I'm going to go 2-1 Tigers on that one.
Okay.
All right, next, the NFL season will finally begin with the Hall of Fame game
Man, this is
on Sunday. Miami Dolphins versus Dallas Cowboys. Yeah, really think here because, you know, it's preseason and everything. Yeah. All right, you get 5 points for – you pick the winner of the game, but you get 5 points if you can correctly guess the correct score.
Whoa, mama. Whoa, mama.
Yes.
All right, so we're basically saying who's third stringers.
Yes, exactly. Who has the more depth?
I'm
going to
go with the Miami Dolphins. I think they're gonna be a little bit more into it. I'm going to go 21-13.
21-13. Yep. Okay. And you get 5 points for picking the correct score.
5 points for picking the correct score.
This week is really going to separate the men from
the boys.
Exactly.
That's why I did it. That's why I did it.
I tell you. All right, I'm going to go. See, I'm getting cloudy here, guys, because I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm letting that cloud my judgment a little bit.
That's because you're a Cowboys
fan. Yeah, how about them Cowboys, baby? I'm going to go with Cowboys 28-24.
Whew.
Mm, it's a high-scoring game, right?
It is.
Very high-scoring game.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Miami mm-hmm. as well. I think, again, they're going to be a little more into it, and they want to have some of those younger guys prove themselves. Cowboys won't care. and I'm going to go 21-17.
Okay. Gotcha. All right.
Next is UFC Featherweight Championship. Also, some extra points to divvy out here. You correctly guess who it is you think is going to win between Jose Aldo, the champion, versus the Korean Zombie Chan Sung-jung. All right.
Wow, that's a cool name. Chan Sung-jung.
That is a pretty cool
name. That's pretty cool right there. All right. I'm going to go with Aldo. He wins...
Forget 1 point for guessing the round and 1 point for the reason the match stoppage, where it's TKO submission or it goes to the end, like fifth round and like unanimous or something.
I'm gonna go fifth round. There's five rounds. I thought it was three.
It's five rounds for the championship.
Oh, for the champ. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I was gonna say TKO in second with Aldo winning. I'm gonna change that. I'm gonna say Aldo winning with TKO. In the fourth.
Ooh. Nice. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to do the exact same thing as Al. I do not trust myself with UFC, so I'm going to play it safe, and I'll just stay with exactly what Al just said. So there you go.
That's smart.
I'm going with the man who's only lost once in his entire career and is one. I'm going to go Aldo.
Mm-hmm. You can't go wrong with Aldo.
Fifth round unanimous decision.
Okay. All right, let's cruise through these Reds. We got the Sox and Indians in a three-game series and the Reds and Cardinals in a three-game series.
Let's speed this up. Al, who do you got?
I got – give me the Indians 2-1.
Same. Boring. Same. Gosh.
Yep, same boring.
2-1. I'm going to go the same as well. And then Reds and Cardinals as well.
Go ahead, Matt.
Give me the Cardinals 2-1.
The Cardinals 2-1.
It's just too tempting.
Yep.
Home Cardinals team, 2-1. You know?
Exactly. I feel you.
Yeah. I'll switch it up. I'll go Reds 2-1. Why not?
Well,
why not?
You guys are going to be singing. You're sitting pretty.
Right, you're sitting pretty. You're going to be watching this spectacle. Oh, boy, I tell you. Yeah. The two guys who were... It's the exact opposite this month.
It really is.
Unbelievable.
August better treat us well.
Please treat us well, August. Last month of summer, please. All right, before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Alex Sharg and Matt Lucky, production assistants. Intern Mike Corey, engineer Aaron Young. Peter Worf, our station manager here at WKAR. Thanks to Andrea Corbetta, professional Italian basketball player, for giving us some insight into international basketball. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. Hey, take care and be easy, people.